Greeting my Kardec radio friends from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here to take you on another audio journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. In today's audio journey, we will cover the fate of children after death from question 197 to 199, the gender in spirits from question 200 to question 202, and kinships and affiliation from questions 203 to 206.
Enjoy.
Question 197. Is the spirit of a child who dies very young as advanced as that of an adult?
Sometimes much more so, because the child may have had more existences and may have therefore acquired more experiences, especially if he or she has progressed.
Subquestion 197. Then can the spirit of a child be more evolved than that of its parents?
That is very frequently the case. Haven't you yourself often witnessed it?
Question 198. Does the spirit of a child who dies very young without having done any evil belong to the higher degrees?
If such a child has done nothing evil, it has also done nothing good. God does not relieve such a spirit of the trials it must undergo. If it is pure, it is not because it was a child, but because it was already advanced.
Question 199. Why is life so often cut short in childhood?
The length of a child's life can be, for its spirit, the remainder of a former life that had been cut short before its due term. Moreover, the death of a child is often a trial or an expiation for the parents.
Subquestion 199. What becomes of a spirit of a child who dies very young?
It begins a new existence.
Author's remarks for question 199. If humans had only one life to live, and if afterwards their fate were sealed for all eternity, why would half the human species who died while very young deserve to enjoy eternal bliss without having lived a full life of effort? And by what right would they be exempt from the oft so painful conditions imposed on the other half? Such an order of things could not be in accord with the justice of God. Through reincarnation, absolute justice is the same for all. The future belongs to all, without exception and without favoritism, and those who arrive at last will have only themselves to blame. Individuals must have the merit of their actions for which they are justly responsible. Moreover, it is unreasonable to consider childhood as a state of innocence. Do we not see children endowed with the worst instincts at an age at which education could not have yet exerted its influence? What about those who seem to be born cunning, deceitful, and treacherous, who even harbor instincts for thieving and murder, in spite of the good examples surrounding them? Criminal law absolves them when they commit misdeeds by considering them to have acted without discernment, driven more by instinct than deliberate intent. But where do such instincts come from, which differ so widely among children of the same age, reared under the same conditions and subject to the same influences? Where does such precocious wickedness come from, if not from the imperfect nature of the spirit, since education has nothing to do with it? Those who are really wicked have progressed less and must therefore suffer the consequences, not of their acts during their present childhood, but of their previous lives. It is thus that the law is the same for all, and that the justice of God extends to all. Question 200. Are spirits male and female?
Not as you understand it, because sex depends on organic composition. Love and sympathy exist among spirits, but they are based on the affinity of sentiments.
Question 201. Can a spirit who has animated the body of a man animate the body of a woman in a new existence and vice versa?
Yes, since the same spirit can animate both male and female bodies.
Question 202. When we are spirits, do we have a preference as to whether we will incarnate into a male or a female body?
It matters little to a spirit. It depends on the trials it must undergo.
Author's remarks for question 202. Because they are sexless, spirits can incarnate as either men or women. Since they must progress in every way, each sex, like each social position, offers them special trials, duties, and new opportunities to acquire experience. The one who always incarnated as a man would only know what men know. Question 203. Do parents transmit a portion of their soul to their children, or do they give them only animal life, to which a new soul afterwards adds the moral life?
Only animal life, since the soul is indivisible. Daft parents may have intelligent children, and vice versa.
Question 204. Since we have had many existences, does kinship go back to previous ones?
It could not be otherwise. The succession of corporeal life establishes ties among spirits dating back to former existences. Such frequently gives rise to the affinity between you and some spirits who you might think are strangers.
Question 205. According to certain individuals, the doctrine of reincarnation appears to destroy family ties by carrying them back to previous lives.
Instead of destroying them, it extends them. Since kinships may be based on previous affections, the ties that unite members of the same family are less precarious. Moreover, reincarnation broadens the duties of fraternity because your neighbor or your servant may be a spirit who was formerly related to you by blood.
Subquestion 205. It does, however, diminish the importance that some attach to their familial affiliation because their father may be a spirit who had previously belonged to a different race or who had occupied a much different social position.
That is true, but such importance is founded on pride. What most people honor in their ancestors are title, class, and fortune. They would blush if they had had an honest shoemaker for a grandfather, but would boast if they had descended from a debauchee of noble birth. No matter what people say or do, they will not prevent things from being what they are, for God does not regulate the laws of nature according to their vanity.
Question 206. Since there may be no actual affiliation among spirits of a particular family's descendants, would it be foolish for the members to honor their ancestors?
Assuredly not, because they should feel happy belonging to a family in which more highly evolved spirits have incarnated. Although spirits do not proceed from one another, they have no less affection for those who are linked to them by family ties, for they are often attracted to this or that family because of affinities or previous connections. You may be very sure that the spirits of your ancestors do not feel honored at all with the respect you render them out of pride. Their merits do not benefit you except as you strive to follow their moral example. Only in that way can your memories not only be pleasant, but even useful to them.